Welcome to the Lost Voice of Found Fathers podcast. I'm Gabe O'Sullivan, and joining me is my co-host, Will Haycox. We're a man who have suffered the loss of a child, and through this production, we desire to offer encouragement, strength, and hope to our fellow brothers who have traveled the same journey. Also, in this show, we are highlighting what it means to be a good father, good husband, good community leader. And therefore, we have our buddy, Mayor Josh Simpson, on here. This is episode 2 of our conversation with Josh. So if you haven't listened to episode 1, make sure you go back and listen to episode 1 of our interview with Mayor Josh Simpson, because you're going to want to get the background that has been laid for where we're going in this episode. So welcome back, Josh.
Yeah. Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Will. So, glad to be back.
Yeah, man. So we ended up last episode with you kind of taking us up to your experience as a Wofford College baseball player. And so now we're going to kind of move, you know, into that career and now out of that career. Mm-hmm. And the lessons that you have learned in your childhood and in your youth, and how you're applying that now in adulthood into your fatherhood, into being a man, into being a husband, into being a community leader. I'm just going to kind of open it up.
I think definitely go back to episode 1 if you didn't hear that foundation that was laid, because it's important, right? It's impactful as I, you know, earned that offer to play collegiate ball, which was a very proud moment for my mother and I and our family, and because that was what everything was leading up to. Mm-hmm. You know, the long hours, the long travel, the work, the doing school work on a bus, you know, it all led up to that. And it was, at the time, I didn't realize it was a really over $250,000 investment. Mm-hmm. In a single person, when you think about it. Mm-hmm. Because Wofford is not that cheap. No.
Almost went there.
And And so through, you know, playing collegiately, I think it really highlighted what I kind of lacked from a developmental standpoint, from a mentorship, from an influence standpoint when it comes to performance, because I was not just a big fish in a small pond now. Mm-hmm. And when I went to school, it was like, wow, he's good too, you know, and he's good. And now you have a number of number one players from their community competing for starting roles, for starting spots. And I kind of was behind the eight ball when I came in, because they had access to different tools and resources and training programs that I had no idea were even available. Just growing up in the small city that I was from. And again, I'm from Union, South Carolina, as I said in episode 1. But, you know, going through 4 years of school, of course, you come into college, you want to be the man. You know, you want to be the guy that is the go-to, that is, hey, when the game is on the line, give me the ball. And that wasn't necessarily my story. But I will say one thing I never lacked was a winning mentality. I never not wanted to win. I never was okay with losing. If I didn't get the starting spot freshman year, sophomore year, I wasn't okay with that. It made me work a little bit harder. But as you know, your career goes on, you have to find a role that is right for you and that is supportive of the team. Mm-hmm. And that's what I had to do. I didn't have a overwhelming career. I had a below average collegiate career. And that was at first kind of hard to swallow, because I said, you know, wow, my, you know, at the time, God for me was, God, you know, please let me strike this batter out, you know, mm-hmm. or please let me get a base hit. Mm-hmm. You know, I had kind of boiled it down to that's what he, almost like a genie, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, if you go back to episode 1, I talk about the lens I had was not a faith foundation coming up. And so I think going through school, and when I finished at Wofford, you know, Will, you alluded to this question earlier, what was kind of my perspective after that experience? Mm-hmm. You know, looking back on it, when I graduated and I said, hey, do I want to still try to play baseball and scrounge up in some independent league, or, you know, find somewhere to play, or someone who'll take this below average player? Or do I want to, you know, start a career, you know, start a family and move in that direction? And honestly, it was when I graduated that I looked back and I said, wow, look how God has shaped my life at these different points. I was introduced to more about Jesus, you know, around 21, like the real Jesus. What does it mean to be? I had met Christians my entire life. I didn't really know what that meant, though. I just thought they went to church, or, you know, they went to KFC on Sunday afternoon. I didn't know if that's what it needed to be a Christian.
That is true.
Yeah. I was like, we go to KFC multiple times a week in my house, so we're super Christians, you know.
That's awesome.
So I didn't really know what that meant, but after, you know, graduating, I really attribute this to my wife. You know, I started following her to church because I was a knucklehead at certain points, and I would go because she was there.
Sure.
And it was like, okay, well, this pretty lady is going to church, I guess I'm going to church, you know, with her. And I would be beside her, and then I would start I start meeting you know, individuals who I'm like, well, I kind of like that guy. He isn't weird. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, you know, because I met a couple, just to be honest, I met a couple weird folks, you know, throwing the Bible at me, and, you know, that's weird, you know. Where I'm from, I told you episode one, it's like, well, you must want something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when the want is for you to be kingdom filled and for your life to have what you mentioned, mm-hmm. purpose, mm-hmm. you know, that is a agenda that I'm okay pursuing, mm-hmm. and sharing. Mm-hmm. Because had they not, when I look back on it, it would have shaped my life different. 21 years at graduation, I said, man, you put so-and-so in my life at 10. You've been guiding my footsteps the whole time. Mm-hmm. At 14, you kept me from going to that party where... you know, a friend of mine was killed. Mm. At 17, you know, you kept me from being in that environment where another friend of mine was killed.
My goodness.
You know,
wow.
there were, for sake of time, you know, I won't go into it, but there were many points where I was off playing ball. Mm. Didn't know your name and who you were, but you were still keeping me from harm in certain pockets. In my neighborhood or growing up. Mm-hmm. And so the thankfulness and gratefulness I had when I learned who he was and what that meant to just have a relationship with Jesus, who he is, I said, you must love me a lot to help navigate my life, use my wife in that way, who was a girl I just met and I thought was pretty in Spanish class. I want to get her number, and she didn't give it to me. And again, I'm a winner, so I didn't take no for an answer. You know, I gotta have it. You know, and so using her to open doors to church as well was, you know, God, you got it. You know, whatever you need me to do now is, you know, I'm thankful for this journey. So finishing school and ball. I was sad at first, but it was like, man, I must have a great, my purpose must not have been to be in the MLB. Now, of course, there were things I could have done better to shape that career, of course. But when it comes to purpose, Lord, you must have had something greater, because I felt a sense of relief and peace when I hung up those cleats for the last time, you know, so.
Yeah, like you knew that was a part of your story that wasn't the totality of
Correct.
Your story.
Correct.
I love that, man. You know, and you said something a little bit, you know, about this kind of play into win mentality that you have, that you've had, you know, obviously ingrained into you, but
right.
I think sometimes some guys just got it and some guys just don't got it too, and you obviously, God bless you with that as well, and I want to get into that in just a minute, but I just thought it was so cool with what you said. Jesus, you must love me a lot to have had your hand on my life when I didn't even know you, didn't even know who you were, didn't even know, you know, anything about you necessarily, right. but you recognize that, you know, God's providence over your life and that he had been orchestrating your steps for your good. Mm-hmm. You know, even, and listen, if y'all listen to this, Josh didn't have like this easy, like silver spoon in his mouth lifestyle coming up, right? So what you're hearing from Josh is that even in those difficult times, he recognized that was part of God's plan to make him who he was and to develop him into the man that he is now. And so the reason I bring that up is I think it's sometimes easy for guys to, they could look, somebody could be in your shoes, Josh, and they could look back on their upbringing or maybe some difficult thing that they've went through. You know, maybe, like we talk about in the show, loss of a child, maybe a, you know, whatever difficult situation that just really rocks their world. And they can look at that and be like, oh, woe is me. God's got it out for me. Mm. Like, he's got my worst at heart. You know, like, he's up there with lightning bolts trying to just throw them down at me. And then Josh is like, no, God was up there allowing me to experience the things I experienced in life, the good and the bad, because he's got my good at heart, right? And that's what we're wanting to people to hear, you know, on this show, but from you today, too, is that... That scripture is true, right? Where the Lord talks about how he works for our good, you know, and again, he's working for our good when we know him, and he's working for our good even when we don't know him, man. So thank you for being a testimony to that truth. Like, you're truly like living the scripture. And I know you wanted to ask him some questions about like that winning mentality, et cetera. So I'll be quiet.
No, I just had a couple of things. We talked a little bit between podcasts here, and then just kind of going off what you said earlier, you had addressed a little bit of this. So I think I'm going to combine a couple questions. But we kind of talked about like when did it start to come together that when these guys, if you listen to the first episode, you talked about how these men, these fathers came, they picked you up. You know, they spent a lot of time, they spent a lot of money on you and getting you there, and you didn't care. You thought it was just baseball and, you know, I'm having fun. Right. It doesn't matter. You didn't even think about whether or not they were covering anything for you or if there was any deeper purpose.
Right.
You just mentioned that, you know, it took till you graduated college for you to really start kind of realizing what that purpose was.
Right.
And so can you flesh out a little bit more, like, what did that do for you? You mentioned your life purpose, you know, what maybe it wasn't to be in the MLB,
right?
But, you know, obviously you're a believer, and we know the ultimate purpose is to glorify God and, right. and to share his name. But how does that impact, you know, you mentioned the winning mentality and all of that. How does what those men did for you and your reflection on that impact your life now? And, you know, is there something that you are you trying to share that winning mentality with others? You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, great question. So I think the number one thing is I told you they taught me was you know, what's it look like to serve someone? Mm-hmm. And they were serving, but at the same time, great fathers, great husbands. And so that kind of shaped my thinking after college. How do I start making myself a contributing member to society that is a great, for one, husband, you know, or at the time, boyfriend, so to speak, right? But a great husband, a great father. And so through that, it just kind of brought me back to this leaving communities better than we found them. Mm-hmm. You know, I have never, and I struggle with, hey, what do I do? Do I start an organization? Do I, there's a lot of duplicative resources out there that help communities, right? You can look on any block. There's a resource to help communities, youth, homeless, whatever it is, you know, the mission and the vision. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just really stopped thinking about it and started doing it because I've never heard anyone say there are way too many resources out here that help our youth.
Yeah.
You know, we just have too many people out here that want to help kids. You won't hear people say that. And so that mantra or motto kind of led me, again, I've had a career and went the corporate route for a bit, but now it's leading more into that service. And so back last year, we formally started Kid on the Left, which is a nonprofit I founded that is designed to serve and invest in communities through these really three different pillars. It's sports camps, scholarships that we give away to students every year, and these mentoring programs, the career, you know, where we have speaking engagements where I'll go and I'll, or me or a member of our team or volunteers, right, that just want to serve students or schools, and they want to be active and helping in that way, because there is no shortage of people that, or there's no shortage of need in that area. Mm-hmm. Our youth, which I know this from, again, experience, that was a very, very influential time when, from 10 to 17, really. Mm-hmm. How do you make, you're building a man during that time. Wow. How do you build a man knowing that they will eventually be a 20, 25, 30-year-old man and older? Mm-hmm. What do you instill in them at that time that you may not be with them 24/7, but it may be that one point, like me, at 12, I meet someone to similar to a Gabe. You gotta be aware. If I'm, you know, if a 12-year-old meets Gabe now, that's gonna be an impactful experience. If they meet a Will, that is gonna be an impactful experience hearing your story and hearing them, because the sound is gonna be different. Mm. It's gonna be different than what they normally heard. Mm-hmm. You're going through life and you just hear one sound, and now you hear a different one, your ear, you know, perks up. Mm. And it's like, that was a different sound. I'm interested to learn more, you know, about that. Mm-hmm. Gabe sounds different than all the other guys that are kind of speaking into my life. So you don't really know how impactful that's going to be. And so from 10 to 17, that's not a statistic. That's just kind of what I deemed that influential period. What am I doing to reach children in the community at that age? And for me, it was leveraging my background with sports, with connections in that area, to be in schools, to be, I'm very comfortable in front of sports teams, you know, high school, college. And so it was leveraging my background to do that, to further the agenda, so to speak, of being a good father, a good community advocate, a good person that is leaving those communities in a good spot, better than you found them. And through running for mayor, which, not because I just didn't have anything to do, you know, it was a way to tangibly impact and be involved in the community that my kids are growing up in, as well as influencing other kids in the community, because excuse me, the especially the minority community, right? You know, and this is not exclusive of anyone, but they're still first for Black Americans to be had. I mean, think about it. You know, we still have the first Black. Today, you still hear the first Black X, the first Black Y, the first Black. You know, and it's like, if I could be a piece of that influence or, you know, a hope for a child, and speak and share a little about how my background came to be, then I think that's beneficial. I think that's beneficial to them. I think everything I do is kind of is aligned. You know, through nonprofit efforts, Kid on the Left, serving the community. What's the main? Well, that's service. Being an elected official, you know, you're serving your community. You know, my personal efforts through my church, you know, serving my community. All of those legs to the stool, so to speak, align and hold up one mission, one vision, and that's my brand. You know, what does the Simpson name mean? When you think of my name, when you think of my wife's name, my kid's name, you know, somebody told me before, he said, you know, that legacy is what your last name means after you pass on. You know, I think about, you know, my mom's legacy. Man, that'll carry forever because of the things she taught me. You know, they'll forever. My kids are young. The memory of her may fade for them, but the foundational principles will always be there because it's what I know. It's what I'm teaching them. And so, I think everything has to support your brand, your name. At some point, the Simpson name meant drugs, alcoholism. I mean, you know, my father, not to his demise, but it was things that weren't necessarily conquered that he was taught. You know, things that he failed to, you know, deal with because of his background and his father.
Yeah.
And so if you don't conquer it, you lose the right to help your child try to conquer it. Mm-hmm. And so at some point, you just got to change the meaning of what that last name means. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted our last name to mean a number of different things that were positive as mm-hmm. opposed to anything negative.
Yeah, so. And you decided. Like, you decided
yep.
that, like, I'm going to change this, right?
Right, and right. It was, it's so, just a decision. Mm-hmm. It's a decision, you know.
Tell me about what Kid on the Left, is the website? What's the website?
KidOnTheLeft.org.
Okay, there we go. KidOnTheLeft.org. Go there, check it out.
Yep.
Secondly, love the name. You know, we discussed that. Let the listeners know, like, how'd you come up with that name? What's it mean to you?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I always get it. You know, Kid on the Left? Did you say kids on the left?
No, yeah.
It came from a experience, my son's first T-ball season. So, again, and let me back up for a sec. It was really bred before that. I just didn't have the name.
Yeah.
I had the idea. Mm-hmm. Because when I had a son... And my first, I wanted a boy first. I will say that, you know, and I did. We had my son, but it was the moment when we were in the hospital and I had him. This came to mind. I had never heard it before, but I had said, man, for 24 years, I was 24 when I had my son. I had been looking for a superhero father, and God told me to look in the mirror when I had him. And he's, you know, that was his way of telling me, you didn't have him, but you're going to be him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the starting point to, you know, I can be everything that I didn't have, because what better perspective? Because I know exactly what I lacked and when I lacked it. My mom was incredible, but men need men in their lives, mm-hmm. period. Men need strong fathers. That's why we're here. They need strong, you know, spiritual advocates. They, you know, we have I'm seeing it today. Everything that we thought was bad or whatever, it's been exposed a generation earlier.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
It's whatever you thought was bad in college, they're introducing it in high school, you know, and vice versa. And, you know, just knowing that, it's like, you need those male figures to be impactful and to be influential. And so when I had my son, you know, I said, man, this is a way to just really start from scratch. Like he, and it's so beautiful. They don't know anything. They don't know my flaws. He doesn't know anything. He just sees me as dad, you know, and you're the man.
Yeah.
Just me being there. That's why I tell people all the time, Kid on the Left isn't about sports or anything. It's about presence. You're about, it doesn't matter what medium you're using. If you're in kids' lives, that's what matters.
Yeah.
You know, because they need you there. So, Kid on the Left, he played T-ball at first season, and somebody snapped a photo of us, right? And it's if you go to the website, you'll see the photo. And so, he is on the left of the photo, and I'm on the right. And he is coming up to home plate with his arms out, and he's reaching up to me. Picturesque, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I, you know, I said, somebody sent it to me after the game. I said, man, this is a great photo. You know, this is a really good picture. And I just saved it and didn't think about it again. So that morning, or early morning, I woke up about 3 a.m, 4 a.m. I just opened it back up. And transparently, you know, I was brought to tears. I was really emotional. I don't know why. I was just, it was something. It was something that was stirring. And, you know, it was just important, because as I looked at the picture, I was like, man, that's what it is. That's why I feel like that. I never had a chance to be this kid on the left right here. Mm. The kid on the left of this photo.
Mm.
And it was a way to, again, use that mantra, but to bring awareness to, if you didn't have a chance to be the kid on the left, you can help the kid on the left.
Wow.
So to speak, right?
Yeah.
From the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's about perspective, because if you're in the picture, I'm on the left.
Yeah.
So in some ways, I still am the kid on the left by helping the pitch. So it's just about perspective. Mm. It's about being in a position where you can serve or be served. Mm. You know, you can add value. You can be the one being valued, you know, and, so to speak.
Yeah, and something going along with all that, and then I guess kind of just we're talking about, you know, fathers and what it means to be a father, and you even mentioned we can kind of go that way too.
Yeah.
You said something in the first episode about, you know, these guys that came and helped you and were the father figures in your life.
Right.
You saw them being fathers to their family, but also fathers to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, to a certain extent, like obviously our number one priority is to our family.
Right.
And then we kind of go out in our sphere of influence. But what I'm getting at is this winning mentality, this competitive mindset. I think it's very masculine. Mm-hmm. It's what God created us to be. You know, created us to be the hunter. You know, we go out, we conquer things. You know,
right.
if there's chaos or there's disorder, we go out, we defeat it.
Right.
We, you know, Adam was created to subdue the earth, you know, to bring the garden into order.
Right.
And that's something I feel like we have lost as a society. We've lost it and abdicated that responsibility as the church. You know, we're taught, for the most part, Christian men, we're supposed to be mild-mannered men. We're supposed to be, you know, very loving, very, very patient, very easy to deal with. We, you know, we turn the other cheek. And all those things are true. Jesus did turn the other cheek. But Jesus also stood up against the Pharisees. You know, he called them a brood of vipers.
Right.
He called them out. He didn't say, y'all are teaching bad things, but, you know, it's okay. I'm going to be meek and mild-mannered Jesus.
Right.
You can talk a little bit about, like, the importance of being, of having that winning mentality in the nonprofit, even just as a father with your children. Talk a little bit about the winning mentality, importance of being competitive, the importance of being on offense, going out and fighting the evils in the world, those influences that are trying to hurt and change the minds of our children, the children in the community. Like, let's just get into a little bit about what does it mean to be a father on offense
and winning mentality. I think I heard it. You know, if we're not intentional about reaching our children, you know, the enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to be the ones on offense. You know, if that is the goal, right, to feel the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be intentional through every resource we have and medium we have to reach kids. And so whatever you're doing, I feel like if you have that in the back of your mind, right, if you're a Christian male, because I'm by no means would be described as mild-mannered. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody mm-hmm. I know would describe mm-hmm. me as that. You have to be strong. You have to be aggressive. You have to have that winning mentality. You know what? And winning is subjective, right? It looks different in every area.
Mm-hmm.
Kid on the left. What is winning for kid on the left? Winning was what, when I had one conversation with a kid about faith at a baseball camp after the camp.
Mm-hmm.
We already won. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do now is extra. Everything we do now is just continuing to win.
Mm-hmm.
If going through everything we had to do to start an organization to reach one kid, that was worth it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so now everything we do and everything, you know, every camp, every time I'm in a school
mm-hmm.
reaching a kid, the conversation isn't about faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about being an example like those men were that makes someone want to draw closer. It's a different sound. It's, you know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
A kid likes to be around you, but you don't really know why.
Mm-hmm.
I had those individuals. I'm like, you know what? I like Gabe. You know, I don't know what it is, but as a kid, it was different. And it's typically in the form of the kids that want to come to your house. You know, they want to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you see that you know, you mentioned you're a father to yours, of course, your family,
mm-hmm.
and that's your responsibility. But the responsibility is also, I feel like, as a Christian, if you see someone, again, in need, or you see someone that is, and this is within the scope that you can handle, mm-hmm. right? This is not everybody on the street needs help, so I, you know, man my resources, right? It has to be some structure to it. But you're an example, and you maybe put them in a position or share a resource or open up, you know, your team or your church or your whatever it is to them to come just learn more
mm-hmm.
and build a relationship. You know, relationships are the foundation. And so I think having that and having just like, you know, like you said, you may play racquetball. I don't know if y'all play racquetball or pickleball or something. I don't know what it is, right? But and you may run into some kids at your local YMCA when you come every week. You know, it's stopping to learn more about those kids instead of just, hey, we got into this mode where we just walk past people, or it's customary in the South, say, how you doing, and keep going. But you didn't even stop and hear my answer. What if I told you I was doing bad? What would you do about it?
Like, sorry,
Right. Keep walking. Yeah. We're expecting a good answer. But truly, if you walk past someone and they said, well, I'm actually not doing too good, would you stop to listen? People typically just want someone who will bend an ear to them. And so it's, if you're at a community center, you know, a while or something, like I mentioned, or whatever, it's, I don't just walk past those kids every day. I stop and ask them, hey, how are you guys doing? How's school? You know, that's important, right? Now, I'm not just an old guy who's speaking about that, but I'm they can feel a genuine curiosity that I want them to do well, and I don't even know you kids. Because you may be impacting my kids at some point in your career. So, of course, I want you to be a good person.
That's right.
Right. So.
Yeah, I think that's important, you know, to your point, you know, winning looks winning looks different in every context. But I think the overarching thing that we need to be mindful of as Christian men, as Christian fathers, is, I think you two would agree, like, winning means having a purpose. Winning means going towards something. And I know we're coming up on 30 minutes here, you know, we can start wrapping up, but I love, and we can talk about it a little bit more if you'd like to, but the what you just said, you need to be intentional about reaching our kids and the kids of the community, because if we're not, Satan is.
Right.
And the rest of the world's influence already is through cartoons they're seeing when they're 2 or 3 years old, to movies, to everything.
They already are.
And songs, and who's popular on the internet, and all this stuff. Like, everything that's out there, intentionally or not intentionally, is turning their attention away from the Lord. So if we're just sitting back, you know, assuming, I think Fody Bacham said, you know, we send our kids to Rome and school day after day after day after day, and then we're surprised at in 12th grade when they come out as Romans. We're like, where'd you learn this? I'm like, well, you sent me to this place every single day, you know, and you didn't check up, you weren't involved. Who are you now? You know, you're going to try to change my mindset when I'm 18. So I think that's an important thing we'll continue to spend time on the podcast, but just being intentional, having a purpose, having a winning mentality, to what you said about having that one faith conversation, maybe winning with my daughter's 3 years old now. Maybe winning with her is like reading her a Bible story at night. You know,
exactly.
Taking her to the playground and spending some time with her, letting her know I care about her. I'm working all day, but now when I'm home, I can spend time with you instead of, I've been guilty of, come home, I'm tired, let's just watch TV. And then so we don't interact. She doesn't know, you know, dad might hold you, but that's the extent of our relationship.
I agree.
So living with that purpose, I think, is something that we have to keep in mind. And being passive means you're losing slowly.
I mean, every and I like that, you're losing slowly, being passive. Every day that we're not intentional with something, and people think intentionality is 24 hours a day I have to be, that's not intentionality. It's, do you have a block of time, or do you have a scheduled period of time a day where you are intentional about a goal or getting something done? You know, and that's to your point, you know, like you said, it's simplistic with your daughter to complex as, you know, challenging world hunger. You know, there's a range, and it's not, so winning is not necessarily to be comparative to each other. But it's like, was I a better, I just told someone this yesterday, you know, I'm not the best father in the world, but was I a better dad today than I was yesterday? It's in the 1%, and I've heard this quote for years, but I love it. You know, men do what is good, boys do what feel good. And that stuck with me for years, because that's right, because it's not always comfortable or convenient or easy to do what is good. You know, and sometimes it may, you know, hurt. You know, it may not be what you think is best for you right now, but how would God steward those resources, you know? What is you know, what is the mentality that you should have around your efforts that mm-hmm. that you output every day. Mm-hmm. What is the mentality? Is it, hey, I'm going to be a good person, or hey, I want to be better than I was yesterday, or is it for me? Mm-hmm.
How can we've been that
mentality, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about, hey, it's about, you know, this podcast isn't even about us. Mm-hmm. It's about other fathers that are reaching other people. I don't care if you remember my name mm-hmm. or you guys' name, but did you hear something that you can go impart in someone? You can't impart what you don't possess. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah, thank you, Will.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, we talked about, like, between episodes here, we talked about, like, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and some of these, you know, greats in their sports. And I think of, like, I didn't even watch the NFL then, but, like, you think of, like, Lawrence Taylor, you think of these guys who were just intimidated, they were giants in their sport.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't get that way. Kobe didn't get as good as he was because he showed up and he was good at basketball.
Yep.
You know, we talked about the story, you know, of him practicing all night long, his trainer goes home and, you know, goes to sleep and comes back. He thinks he's early, and Kobe's been there the whole night because he just wants it that bad. Mm-hmm. And do we want, like, maybe we're all not setting out to be the Kobe Bryant of dads, but are we going to try it all? Like, right. If Kobe and LeBron and Lawrence Taylor and all these guys who are great in their craft are working their whole life from the time they were maybe 10 or 15 years old was bent towards this goal of being as good as they could be. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should feel a little bit of shame if we're not trying a tenth or a hundredth. Right. Like you said, in the 1%, am I trying to be 1% better today than I was yesterday?
Right.
And if they can do it to play basketball or play football,
right.
I think what's more important in the grand scheme of things? What honors the Lord more? I can shoot the basketball well, or I can raise my children to know and love the Lord.
Right, and that's a good point. You know, what honors the Lord more? Mm-hmm. And what honors the Lord the most is most likely going to be polarizing in our mm-hmm. secular society today. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about it. The greats are polarizing. Mm-hmm. LeBron James. Mm-hmm. He's not to go. He is, mm-hmm. you know. Like you mentioned, Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. Mike Trout, mm-hmm. Roger Federer. He was the greatest, I'll say it on record. you know, Serena Williams. These greats, though, they're polarized, and they have entire fan bases mm-hmm. swinging to one side or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, our country polarizes. We have Republican, you know, you have to be on one side or the other is what they say, mm-hmm. you know, but who is the greatest? Jesus. So think he's the most polarizing figure. Think mm-hmm. about it. He came and he said, I am God. Mm-hmm. I am him. I'm the Son of God. How polarizing was that during a time? Mm-hmm. It's like, what? You're saying no. And then you have believers who are, this is him. You know, I believe mm-hmm. him. So the most polarizing man of all time, you know, you're looked at as, like you said, what is done in a way that most values the Lord mm-hmm. is going to be polarizing, because there are always going to be people on opposite sides. Mm-hmm. But what you can't do is fall in a spot where everyone likes you. Mm-hmm. If all those people I just mentioned fell into a spot where they wanted to be liked by everyone, then they never would have been the greatest.
That's right.
Because they would have just settled with, you know what, I want everyone to love me, or mm-hmm. I don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't want to. Doing what we do, and I'm not saying someone is watching this and they're going to be upset with this, but what I'm saying is doing what we do, sharing the word, sharing the gospel, sharing through camps, through nonprofits, through books you wrote, is going to be polarizing. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to read that and not agree with what you said. Mm-hmm. But you know what agenda you're trying to further. Mm-hmm. And we know what agenda it is the most beneficial for our society. Mm-hmm. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more I can say, but we're at 40 minutes now. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, appreciate you.
The mayor is long-winded.
Yes.
It's
okay. Can be your assistant mayor, because I'm just as, Gabe can tell you, I'm just as long-winded. We can have hour-long episodes of just me monologuing sometimes. So that's why we have Gabe here, is to keep me in check.
Yeah. Good.
Well, man, Josh, thank you so much, man, for today. And I mean, I've learned so much from today. I've got a whole, you know, piece of paper here full of notes that I took from things that you said. And so thank you, man.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me. Seriously. Yeah, this was awesome.
For your willingness. And Make sure that you check out kidontheleft.org. Get involved with Josh's ministry from a support standpoint, maybe financially as well, helping him to give scholarships like he's doing, and getting their lives positively for children in our communities. And, also, again, certainly love for you to make sure that you're checking out The Lost Boys, Found Fathers on social media as well. And then you can look for my books, That Will Be Done. There's a question mark at the end of that. Trust in God in the Midst of Suffering, Pain, or Loss. Or also my newest one called Every Little Thing, 6 Small Steps to Perfect Peace. So thank y'all for joining us today. Again, thank you so much, Mayor Josh Simpson.
Thank you both.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Will. Let's not be lost. Let's be found in Him.